Jennifer Cheverini came out with her first Elm Creek quilt novel in 1999, and she's turned out a lot of books about Elm Creek quilts since then. And she has 11 novels. She's written 5 holiday novels as well. She's created 3 pattern books based on quilts in her novels. She launched her own fabric line, and it's great to have her back to talk about her new book, which I just finished a couple of days ago, as a matter of fact. It's called The Aloha Quilt, and it was interesting and a fun read for me, and I think it would be for you as well. Whether, you know, see, I don't quilt, but I've really gotten hooked on this whole series, so I read every single one of her books, and I had a lot of fun with it. Maybe you've read some of her books. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you have a question about the books. Maybe a comment for her about the ones that you like. Maybe you have a question about quilting, because we can talk about that as well with her. Join us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org, and we'd love to hear from you. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Do you ever trip up on Elm Creek quilt?
I do. And I didn't know that anyone would ever be saying it on the radio, or I would have picked something much easier to say. Elm Creek Quilts is actually, those are actually the last 3 words of my first novel. It's at the end of that first book, The Quilter's Apprentice, that they decide to create this business, Elm Creek Quilts. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that that was the first book of a series. So I didn't know I'd ever be using that name again, except for those last 3 words of the first book, or I would have tested it a few times, picked something a little bit easier to say, something not quite such a tongue twister.
But it's really turned into a wonderful series.
Oh, thank you. I certainly love writing the books, and it's a lot of fun.
And I think we should we've talked about this, I think, pretty much every time you're on, but you do kind of go shift back and forth, and that's sort of a result of not knowing you were going to have
a
series.
That's right. I didn't have one storyline planned out over a certain number of books, and I really never intended to write a series. I wrote the first book, and readers wanted a sequel, and there's more I wanted to do with those characters, especially the secondary characters that I introduced in that first book, and I wanted to develop their lives more. But even then, I didn't know that it was going to be all these many books later, like The Aloha Quilt's number 16 in the series. And so I didn't plan something out that would last one big extended narrative. But I think that's been a good thing in many ways, mm-hmm. because it's kept the series fun and interesting for me to sometimes introduce a whole new group of characters and let them experience quilt camp, and we get to see it through their eyes. Or sometimes I'll take a secondary character in one book and make that character the main character of a whole new story. Or I'll go back into the past, which is something I really love to do, and write a historical novel about one of the main contemporary characters' ancestors, or about someone who appeared in one of those earlier historical novels. Or in this case, I take one of my main characters and send her off on a road trip so that she can have an adventure away from the main setting of the other books.
Mm-hmm. And just to go back to the historical novel, I really liked your last historical novel that had to do with a slave.
Yes, mm-hmm. The Lost Quilter.
The Lost Quilter, and I hope that one sold well.
It did. It did. Actually, it did reach number 10 on the New York Times bestseller list, so that was a very exciting moment for me.
Well, I tell you what, this time we've got the Aloha Quilt, and as you say, we take our readers to Hawaii, and you get to go to Hawaii, I assume.
Yes, it's quite a hardship, the research that was required for these books, yeah. And some of those, I had to take 4 trips. I say had to. I was able to take 4 trips to Hawaii during the 2 years that I was writing and researching these books, or this book. And 2 of those trips were in January. You know how hard it is to leave Wisconsin in January. That's when our state is at the peak of its beauty. So it was tough. It was tough, but I managed. It's because I care about my readers that much.
Well, for those who haven't picked up a copy yet, Bonnie is one of the founders.
Yes,
and she's one of the people. She's the person who has had more trouble than almost anybody.
She really has. Yeah, I've been fascinated with the traditions of Hawaiian quilting, not only because they are so unique and so readily identifiable as a particular style of quilt, but because of the important cultural and spiritual elements that go into designing these patterns. So I wanted to write about Hawaiian quilting, and I thought that I needed to take one of my characters and send them out there and let her explore it, rather than bring the quilting to Elm Creek Manor. Of course, it made much more sense to explore this tradition in its natural setting. So I had to think about which of my characters most deserved a trip to Hawaii. And it only took me a few minutes to decide Bonnie. Bonnie, she's going through a very difficult, contentious divorce. And her husband is trying to pit the children against her. And she lost her wonderful quilt shop that was her pride and joy. It was her dream to start this quilt shop. And she did so with a inheritance from her grandmother, which is why the name of the quilt shop is Grandma's Attic, because that was such a special place to her. So losing the quilt shop due to a really unfortunate collision of competition from chain stores and vandalism and just kind of unpleasantness from her husband, she really, I think maybe I could have spread around the hardship between several different characters instead of dumping it all on Bonnie. But after all that Bonnie went through, I thought, yes, she has to be the one to get a trip to Hawaii. She earned it.
She has a very interesting time there. When you in this particular book, and now maybe I'm wrong. I'm not, as I said, I've never quilted in my life, although I've purchased a few pretty nice ones over time. You spend more time in this book, I think, covering the quilting process. Seems to me. Mm-hmm. Is that true, or is that?
Well, I think I covered it quite a bit in the first novel, because in The Quilter's Apprentice, we had one of the main characters, Sylvia, teaching the other main character how to quilt. So you do see a lot of it step by step in that book, too. But in all the other books in between, I don't think I have gone into the process of designing and creating quite as much as I do in this book. And I think part of it is because the Hawaiian style quilt that I talk about is so unique. A lot of people are familiar with traditional patchwork, in which several or many, depending upon the size of the quilt, different individual patchwork squares, often using the same pattern repeated over and over again, sometimes combining more than one to make a different design out of the two different blocks, or perhaps even more than that. But we're familiar with lots of different blocks making up the surface of the quilt. There are several different styles of quilting in Hawaii, including traditional patchwork. But the style that we think of most readily when we think of a Hawaiian quilt, it's a large whole quilt style of two-color, usually, applique. You have two different contrasting colors. And instead of making individual patchwork blocks and sewing those blocks into rows and then sewing the rows together, you make it on almost in the fashion of a paper snowflake, which we in Wisconsin are more familiar with. As in a paper snowflake, you would take a square of paper and fold it in half again, and then fold it along the diagonal. You'd cut out your design and unfold it, and you'd have a radially symmetric design. Well, you have to envision this done on a much larger scale with large pieces of fabric, and you have to fold your fabric, put your design, cut it out, and that can be difficult, cutting through those eight layers of folded fabric. And then usually the top layer, or the paper snowflake part of it, is the darker, and you put it on a lighter background. Now, of course, not always. Quilters are free to vary it however they wish. And then you sew that to another large square of background fabric. And Hawaiian quilters draw inspiration from the natural beauty of the Hawaiian Islands. You see a lot of plants, a lot of items from the culture, and family crests and cultural emblems often appear on these quilts as well.
And we'll talk some more about that. It's really fascinating quilts, I can tell you that. And it's a fascinating book, too, The Aloha Quilt by Jennifer Cheverini. She'll be with us till 12:30 here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at social drama and the art of quilting today with Jennifer Cheverini of Middleton, author of the New York Times bestselling Elm Creek Quilt Series. Her latest book is entitled The Aloha Quilt. and having fun talking with her today about it. I just finished reading it a couple of days ago and really enjoyed it, and I think you will as well. You don't have to be a quilter to enjoy the book, that's for sure, or any of the books in her series. Like to join in with a question or comment, you're most welcome. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Lori in Madison's been waiting a while, so let's go to Lori. Hi, Lori. Thank you for calling.
Yes. These books sound like they'd be a nice gift for my mother, and I was wondering if it's best that I would give her the first book, or because you were talking about everything sort of weaves in and out of time and different characters' lives, does it really matter? And it's probably better to give her one that's...
Well, I think you'd probably be safest by buying all of them. But, I, you know, of course I'm obliged to say that. Well, since I didn't, as you picked up on, since I didn't plan to write a series from the beginning, a lot of the books do stand on their own. I do write, especially the historical novels and, of course, the later novels in the series. So if there's a novel that particularly interests you, say you're very interested in the Civil War era, you can go ahead and pick up one of my historical novels and read that independently of the series. And as far as the Aloha Quilt, since so much of the action focuses on Bonnie, the individual character, away from Elm Creek Manor, where the most of the series is set, you can pick this book up too and just enjoy it on its own. So I've heard from readers, they're kind of divided on this. Some readers say, absolutely, you have to start with the first book and read all of them all the way through. But other readers have told me that they've jumped in the middle and they've read the books out of order and have had no problem understanding what's going on. So if there's a particular book that interests you because of the subject matter or the setting, it's usually fine to just pick up one of those books and start in the middle if you like. And then if you enjoy it, then you can go back to the beginning and read them all the way through.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Now, this is one of the unusual times, maybe, where you had, or maybe not, the book that you had out last, the seasonal book, actually makes some references to this particular book. So from last season, you were talking about Bonnie being in Hawaii and so forth.
Yes, that's right. Last fall, I had another holiday book out called A Quilter's Holiday, and it focuses on a special tradition that the Elm Creek Quilters have on the day after Thanksgiving. They get together, and they have a day-long marathon of quilting to get ready for the upcoming holidays, whether they're making gifts or whether they're making decorations, or if they just want to take a break from the holiday craziness and just get together with their friends. And this is going on while Bonnie is in Hawaii. So in my previous book, we get a call from Bonnie and we hear that she's in Hawaii and having a wonderful time. And then, of course, in the Aloha Quilt, we see that from Bonnie's side as she's homesick and missing her friends and she's calling them to see how they're doing on their quilter's holiday. And part of the reason why I have these books going on at the same time is going back to that, not knowing that I would be writing a series. I started out with a protagonist who was 75 years old, and I didn't know I would need her 16 books later. So I am trying to compress the time frame a little bit. I know she's pushing 127 by now, and I know that eventually readers are not going to believe that she would still be with us any longer. So sometimes I go back and I write a historical novel, and other times, such as with my last two books, two stories are going on simultaneously with two very different storylines and different characters in different locations. So that's allowing me to continue to write about these characters that I love so much without having it become too implausible.
Well, one of the things I kind of enjoyed about this book was reading about some of the Hawaiian history that you also were in, which I'm frankly was totally ignorant of, but it has a sort of an interesting, kind of a sad history in some ways, and it was fun, interesting to read about it.
Well, it does, and I was inspired to use to incorporate elements of Hawaiian history, both because of my own love of American history and my own fascination with it, but also because of a particular quilt that I saw on one of my research trips to Oahu. Most of the book is set on Maui, but part of it is set on Oahu. And in the Iolani Palace, which was the palace of the last monarchs of Hawaii before the kingdom was overthrown, in an upper room of the Iolani Palace, a quilt made by Queen Liliuokalani, the last queen of the Kingdom of Hawaii, and she made this amazingly intricate, fascinating, crazy quilt, which was a popular style at the time, with the help of a beloved companion, a beloved friend. After the kingdom was overthrown, a few years after it was overthrown and a republic was instituted, the queen was accused of participating in a monarchist plot to restore her to her throne. And she was initially sentenced to several years of hard labor, but it was commuted to imprisonment within a single room of her former palace. And when she went into her imprisonment, one beloved friend went into her imprisonment with her and shared her term. She was allowed out. Her friend, Mrs. Wilson, was allowed out one day a week to spend with her own family. But they were imprisoned for months and years. And to help pass the time, they composed and performed music. They spent a lot of time reading and in prayer. And they also worked on this elaborate crazy quilt, which was heavily embroidered and documented a lot of the details of the queen's reign and her overthrow and her imprisonment. And when I went in there and saw this quilt, that such a treasure of art and of culture and history, and also a testament to the friendship of these two women, I mean, who would voluntarily agree to give up their own liberty to share the imprisonment? And by seeing this quilt and knowing how they spent their time and all of the pain and the time and energy and thoughtfulness that went into creating it, it encouraged me to explore those elements of Hawaiian history more and to try to incorporate them into the story.
Yeah, and it's great. And so, although you have a novel here, many parts of that novel are based on, or are in fact, fact.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do like to incorporate as much history as I can.
And so I really enjoy it. And of course, that becomes a kind of a key chapter or two in your book when Bonnie goes to see that quilt.
That's true. A friend that she makes on the island, Hinano, he is her sort of expert on Hawaiian culture and traditions. And part of what Bonnie's doing when she's in Hawaii, she's not only helping a dear college friend set up a new quilting camp, but she also wants to set up not only classes in quilting, but also she wants to arrange different programs for the quilt campers to learn more about Hawaiian traditions and Hawaiian culture. So Hinano is kind of her guide in these matters. And so he's the one who takes her to Oahu to see this quilt. And in knowing him, she learns more about how the ideas of Hawaiian sovereignty and independence aren't only in the past, that there is a strong movement for Hawaiian independence even today. And that is something that she had absolutely no idea about, and it's something that's quite a learning experience for Bonnie.
Jennifer Cheverini, our guest today, author of The Aloha Quilt. Give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you as we talk about the book and about quilting as well. I chuckled to myself as I was reading a particular spot in the book where Bonnie was sort of connived into taking a trip up a mountain.
Oh, yes.
And then I'm trying to remember, sort of going by on a rope.
A zip line. That was Claire's idea. And Claire is rather impulsive and impetuous, and she always thinks her ideas are the best, so she doesn't necessarily have to discuss them with other people. So she thinks that, well, she rightly knows that Bonnie is rather unhappy and depressed, and she's mentally exhausted, and is looking for a change, and she's looking to renew herself and find a new course in life. However, riding along a zip line above a tropical rainforest valley is probably not what Bonnie had in mind. Claire wants to show her more of the island, and so she tells Bonnie that they're going for a hike. What she doesn't tell her is that they will be hiking in between very high platforms over this valley and riding across a zip line to get to the other side. So Claire has not shared that with Bonnie. Bonnie isn't too happy when she first discovers what's in store for her, but she summons up her courage, and she doesn't want to embarrass herself in front of everybody else on this tour. And by the end of it, she's
having a good time.
Yeah, she is, and she's glad that she took that risk.
Now, when you were in Hawaii, did you ride that zip line?
I did. I had a pretty good idea of what I was in store for, though, because my husband had looked it up on the internet, and he said, "Hey, this sounds like fun. Should we try it?" And I, with a little nervousness, I said, "Okay, let's give it a shot." And it turned out to be a very exciting adventure.
Well, let's take some more calls here. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Or email at talk@wpr.org. And Georgia, I believe, is up next. Let's go there in Walworth. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to mention to her that at one time, I don't know how long ago it was, she was doing a book signing in North Carolina, and my daughter-in-law bought, I think, 5 books and had her sign "Happy Birthday, Georgia," "Merry Christmas, Georgia," and several others, you know. And then she got kind of cold feet and called me, and she said, "Have you read these books?" And I said, "Oh, yes, I have all."
Oh, no.
And she was really kind of upset. She says, "Well, I'm going to send them to you anyway. You send me the ones you've got if they're not marked up, and I'll be darned if she didn't take them back to the store."
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, no. Oh, well, I'm not happy. I didn't need to know that last part. Well, you know, I'm sure she probably thought, "Oh, this is going to be a wonderful gift for my mom."
For her mother-in-law.
Wait a minute. What if she already has them? But now you have the autographed ones.
Yeah, she started thinking that I read so much. And yeah, I'm a quilter. I've been quilting for too many years to even mention it.
Well, I'm glad she thought that it would be a great gift for you. And now you have autographed ones.
Yes, definitely, except that I don't have them anymore because I have a daughter-in-law who is very intrigued with the quilting, and I sent her the first one to read. And she sent it back, and she says, "Oh, I just love that book." So I sent her all of them.
Oh, that was nice of you. Now, see, if your daughter-in-law had kept them, she could have just sent those to her. And then you both have your own copies. But how would you know?
Right. Yeah, except the names are a little bit different. But I've totally enjoyed the whole group, and
oh,
I'm
thank you.
Really looking forward to reading this one, too. I've already ordered it from the Literary Guild. So.
Oh, good. Well, I hope you enjoy it.
Thanks, Georgia.
I'm sure I will. Thank you so much for writing them. It's a great series.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. And again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Well, you know, quilters, some of the quilters in your book tend to be a little thrifty.
That's true. That is true. And you can see it playing out here.
But
they also tend to be very thoughtful and like to share books and quilt patterns and things like that with people they think will enjoy them.
Oh, boy. The another part of the book that I kind of liked, I liked it all, but the Hawaiian flag quilts was kind of interesting to me.
Yes, that's another style that Hawaii is very well known for. After the overthrow of the Kingdom of Hawaii and during a stage when the Republic was in place, it was not permitted to fly the flag of the Kingdom of Hawaii. So many quilters instead created their own versions of the flag in the form of a quilt. And this was a way to commemorate the lost monarchy, to show their respect and love and admiration for their queen, who stepped down. She stepped down under protest when the overthrow was going on, because she was facing a much greater, much superior military force. And she cared so much for her people, she did not want to risk the loss of life. So she stepped down under protest and wrote a letter stating her position, saying this is an illegal overthrow. And she fully trusted that when the greater international community and the American president was fully aware of the situation, she would be restored to power. Now, that did not happen. But these flag quilts were created to mourn the lost monarchy and show respect to the queen and to show national pride. And they incorporated designs from the Hawaiian flag and also patriotic mottos mm-hmm. in embroidery and things like that.
Well, they sound beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And as always, you have some of the patterns that you write about in the book on the cover.
Yes.
Inside the...
On the end papers, true.
On the end papers?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So on the end papers of the hardcover version of the book, you see the Pineapple Patch quilt, which is a quilt that Bonnie learns to make. She has a tutor named Midori, who also works at what will become the Aloha Quilt Camp. And Midori takes Bonnie under her wing and teaches her all along the way how to make a quilt in the Hawaiian style, from designing it and, well, first how to find inspiration for your design, and then designing the quilt and making your pattern, and then all of the stages through the applique and quilting process. So there's a picture of that on one of the end papers, and then there's a picture of the Aloha quilt itself, the quilt from the title, which actually doesn't show up until very close to the end of the book.
No.
And it is a special surprise, so I don't want to give away too much
no.
about that. And then the other two quilts in the back of the book are quilts that Bonnie sees at the bed and breakfast at the place that will become the Aloha Quilt Camp. And those are quilts that she sees during her stay.
Yeah, they're really fascinating designs, and I thought, how do you get those pineapples out of the folding and so forth that you have to do? The quilting itself, I think you mentioned Midori, and that reminded me of another spot where Bonnie is asking her about how quilting got started in Hawaii, and Bonnie was saying, well, it's you kind of learned from what was it, religious folks?
Yes, Christian missionaries.
Christian
yes.
missionaries. Mm-hmm. But I think Midori takes a little exception to that. In some...
She does. And I think that's what most people know of as how of the tradition of how quilting came to Hawaii. It was introduced by Christian missionaries who taught young girls and young women patchwork as a part of their training for domestic life, as a part of their, you know, as part of their yeah. education. But in doing further research, I discovered that Hawaiians had their own whole cloth quilting tradition long before the Christian missionaries arrived. They used to make their own cloth called kapa. It's also known as tapa cloth in Tahiti. What they would do is they would take the bark of the paper mulberry tree and they would soak it, and then they would pound it with stone-tipped mallets that had designs carved into them, and they would pound it over and over and over again. Very labor-intensive process to turn the bark of the tree into something as soft and pliable as cloth. And then these kapa cloths could be layered and then sewn together to make bed coverings. And these bed coverings were then dyed with different patterns using natural dyes. And so that is very similar to the whole cloth quilting tradition that we have on the mainland. It was really patchwork that was introduced by the Christian missionaries. And then, so what the Native Hawaiians did was they took these two traditions and they brought them together and created something uniquely their own, which developed into this applique tradition that they are so well known for today.
Well, they have to be just gorgeous quilts.
Oh, they really are. They're dazzling, breathtakingly beautiful.
Did you see some quilts done in the old way while you were in when you were in Hawaii?
I did. There are some beautiful quilts on display in the Bishop Museum on Oahu and elsewhere. They've been preserved in other historic sites. And then, of course, quilters are still making them today and sometimes introducing different ideas, such as going away from the solid fabric tradition and using batiks, for example, or using tone-on-tone patterns, or introducing more than two colors instead of just having the background and the applique in two contrasting colors, bringing in additional colors and additional fabrics to highlight other elements of the applique design. So just as quilters on the mainland are always pushing the boundaries and pushing the edge of what we know and think of as a quilt, so too are they doing that with traditional Hawaiian quilts.
Well, poor Bonnie suffers plenty in the book, but there are some really good times for her in this book as well, which I was very happy to see and read about.
Yes, she really did need a getaway. And the challenge of setting up a new quilt camp, taking on a new professional challenge, coupled with the artistic challenge she takes in learning how to make a quilt in the Hawaiian style, help her to work through some of the difficult personal issues in her life, and also help her to decide what to do now that she's lost her quilt shop. She's really at a crossroads in her life. Her marriage is ending, her quilt shop is gone, and she's at a bit at loose ends. She has that reliable teaching position at Elm Creek Quilt Camp she can count on. But there are other changes, too. And she wants to be independent. Her friends have offered her a place to live at Elm Creek Manor. But in a way, that's like giving up for Bonnie. She wants to be independent. She wants to stand on her own two feet. As grateful as she is for her friends' strong support, she wants to get by on her own, too. So getting away from Elm Creek Manor and going off to Hawaii and taking on these new challenges independently help her to work through some of the other issues she has going on in her life.
And make for a fun read. It's so much fun to have you with us today, Jennifer. And you're on the road. You're to Wichita tomorrow night?
Yes, that's right.
Salt Lake City Wednesday?
And then returning to one of my favorite bookstores, Tattered Cover in Denver. So I'm about halfway through the book tour. So it's good to have a day at home.
Well, it's good to have you with us. And your next book is not for a while.
It's going to be a whole year away for me. An entire year I'm taking between books. It's called The Union Quilters, and it will be my first book out with Dutton. I'm reuniting with my beloved editor, Denise Roy, and on a new historical novel, which will take place during the Civil War. And most of it is set on the Pennsylvania home front with the original settlers of the Elm Creek Valley. But a lot of it is, we see the Battle of the Crater, and we see Gettysburg as well in this story.
Jennifer Cheverini, author of The Aloha Quilt. Thank you very much, and thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.